Good evening, everybody. I'd like to, if it's okay, I'd like to pick up again where we left off at the end of last week. Not everybody that's here now was here last week, but I thought what was being explored was significant enough to spend a little bit more time with it. Particularly for those of you who weren't here, we were exploring something of how does existence be recognized or witnessed if there's no one here to witness it? In other words, if you're not here, how does life happen? And it's a bit of a challenging question in the sense that, first of all, what is existence? Is existence what we perceive with our senses? Is existence what many people call the world? The universe? The earth? Is existence what's happening inside here? In the so-called interior? Is existence all of these things that I'm mentioning? Is existence what you can actually cognize and describe? Is existence inclusive of the infinite or the eternal? Is God part of existence? These are questions that some people have. But I think it's important to just take a moment and consider, what do you call existence? You see, because whatever you call existence might be what you call reality. And it might not be the same for somebody else, right? We don't have to go very far to see that if you just kind of cross a cultural line or cross from one country into another, you see things that are very different about how people are being, how they're dressing, what they're doing. Okay. So let me read this little passage here from this book. It's called Unveiling Reality, and it's actually a little bit of a poem. Or at least looks like a poem to me. It goes like this. Whatever you lose was never yours. And whatever you could possibly gain will never be for you. In reality, there is no room for you. There is only room for your being. That makes it really easy. All of your work is over. And what will happen is your being will take over. It will be where you used to be. The you that you were trying to hold together will all pass away. And the real you will finally live. So what is this you that is being held together, or at least trying to hold together, that this suggests will pass away? Very simple. If you go to a classic teaching, which I represent hopefully accurately here frequently, and that is the five aggregates, the body, the feeling, perception, mental formation, and consciousness, is what seems to be coalesced, or that we attempt to try to hold together in the form of what we perceive to be ourselves. This is the fundamental misunderstanding, that you are the five aggregates. So what's being referred to here in this passage as the real you, or being, will take over. Let's try to do it rather simply, if possible. Could we agree as to what a thought is? Could we agree as to what a thought is? could we agree as to what a feeling is? We can pretty much, maybe most easily, agree what the breath is. Can we do that? What the breath is. Okay. Can we agree on what the sense of sight is? The sense of hearing, sense of smell, sense of touch, sense of taste. Okay. Can we agree on what perception is? When I say the word perception, what happens? What is thought about? Or what is considered? How about consciousness? Have you noticed how frequently human beings use the word consciousness? What are they referring to? What is consciousness? Can we agree on what is consciousness? I'm not saying where consciousness is, I'm saying what consciousness is. I'll bet you we can't. We went around and say, everybody, okay, what is consciousness? What is perception? The body, how about that? Can we agree that everybody's going to say this is the body, right? Okay, we're not going to say the wall is the body. Well, most of us are going to agree that this is my body and that's your body. Okay? That is it okay? That's to agree like that's what we're in? Because we're just kind of making it up as we go, right? So let's look at consciousness for a minute. Consciousness is that knowing faculty. Okay, in terms of its action, it knows something. So if perception is known for what it is known for what it is through the vehicle of consciousness. If the body is known for what it is known through the vehicle of consciousness. If a thought is known through consciousness. Without consciousness, there is no knowing of body, perception, feeling, mental formation. Now, notice, okay, that other than the fact that we might be able to say there's a room here, ceiling fan, skylight going up like that, I can see something you can't, it kind of goes up. It's a good ways up there. It's kind of nice up there. I like it up there. So some distance up there. Okay, it's all added on, right? I like it up there. Da, 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 da. Some other people say, well, you know, it's kind of too far. I like it closer. I like my skylights in. You know, it's all that stuff that gets added. People add that coloration, right? Based on they like it, it's preferential, it's not preferential. All that stuff gets added in. Okay. We're still not quite yet, and we will need to take a little bit more exploration to get to what is this real you that emerges when the you that's being supposedly attempted to be held together is no more. Does that happen when death occurs, by the way? Does the false you and real you emerge? Is the room still here for the person who dies? Is the earth still here? Clouds? How about breathing? Is breathing still here for the person who dies? Does anybody know the answer to this that I'm asking? Not that you need to say it, but I'm not talking to say anybody, I mean anybody, not just us buddies. Anybody. The good news is that these things can be investigated. Everything that I'm pointing to can be investigated. And it can be investigated directly. You might say personally. You might say intimately. honestly, authentically, scientifically, these things can be investigated. And when they're investigated, let's just take breathing. When the breathing is investigated, it can become totally 100% clear what the breath is. What a sensation is. That the body is sensation. There is no body other than sensation. It can be investigated and known directly what a thought is, what a perception is, and what consciousness is. Interesting now, look at that, what consciousness is. If consciousness is what knows the other aggregates, the body, the feeling, the perception, the mental formation, you might then ask, what is it that knows consciousness? Is it consciousness knowing itself? Is it a different kind of consciousness that then observes the consciousness that was observing the body and the perception and the feeling? Now I can ask the question. Who is the real you? If a human being has the, I would say, good fortune to come in contact with teachings of liberation, teachings of truth, the Dharma. In most cases, from the very first moment that that contact occurs, that individual, so to speak, that person's quality of life improves. Not always, but in most cases that I have ever heard of, read about, heard other people share about, and that I have had personal observation of, most people's lives improve. The quality of their life improves, sometimes immediately, and sometimes radically, dramatically. Many cases exist, many examples, illustrations exist. Still, however, even with that contact, and you could say even years of practice, many years, decades of practice, and having even heard teachings in detail about what enlightenment's all about, that person who had that initial benefit of the quality of life right from the very beginning, let's say, could still be quite confused about the nature of being 20, 25, 30 years later. Quite confused about what is the real you. Even while the quality of life may have improved. And when I say quality of life, what am I talking about? The quality of the body. Quality of mind, peace of mind, quality of body, perception. These things get clearer, operate more freely. If you call this a vehicle, the vehicle is tuned up, runs better. It feels good. Okay? Food tastes better. Just a nice thing that happens. If you like chocolate, you like it more. The fellow just wrote from Berlin, who used to come to these groups. Some of you might be on his email list. He's been over in Berlin practicing at a Zen pagoda in Berlin, and he's loving Berlin, it seems, and he's sounding increasingly poetic to me in the emails. So he got my attention this morning with an email, and I wrote back. You know, when someone's really drinking from the Dharma, right? Not just sipping, drinking from the Dharma, it's nice to have some recognition of that. So I wrote back and I put in the email, "You're drinking from the Dharma. Don't just sip. Take a long, cool drink, because your head is in the infinite. Felt like a nice way to start the day. Your head is in the infinite. I figured that would, like, stir a few.
My head is in the infinite.
Could have said, you're on the brink of the incomprehensible. You've been in the comprehensible for a long time and confused about even that. He mentioned something about chocolate. He said at every meal, there's chocolate. I know a little bit about his tastes because I've spent a little time with him, and I know he likes to eat, and he likes the sweet part of the eating. So it's probably working quite well that chocolate is at every meal. I wish him well, because, you know, when you really stop and begin to look deeply, sometimes the deepest resistances come up, and you want to run away like never have you wanted to run away before. You ever want to run away from something that's going on, inside or outside, run away from somebody, run away from a situation? There are times in the opening to the truth and the resistance and the fear that might come up and the confusion that might emerge. We talked about that quite a bit last week, the confusion that might emerge. Human beings run. I mean run. I met one fellow, he had been practicing fairly committedly for a good number of years, and he hit something inside that just caused him to boogie. For 10 years he boogied away. And I met him the day he came back. And he said, I'm back. I'm ready to look again. He went on a 10-year, you could call it, distraction. What you find out is that the exploration, the opening to what you really are, as scary and unsettling and unnerving as it can be, is completely safe. It's the safest thing going. It's safer than driving a car, which is the most dangerous thing most of us do, is we get in an automobile and we drive around in it. In terms of, when I talk about safety, like the preservation of this, remember, this is falling apart right now. This is falling apart right now. It's slowly decomposing. Does that sound morbid? For some people that would be like, what? Come on, it's negative, pessimistic.
I was thinking especially at my age.
Especially. Especially. Yeah. You know, we get into this sense of having such adoration for surface beauty, even having heard, you know, beauty is an inner quality. Get adorned with outer beauty and the non-flabbiness. There's this really goofy comedian, and he imitates his mother. And he's Afro-American, and he says, he holds up his arm like this, and he says, my mother, when she wants to talk to me, she just takes her arm and hits this stuff here, and it just moves, and she can make sounds with it as she talks to me, so it's like a musical instrument, because it's so, like, big and long down there. We laugh, and for some people, that would be considered, you know, not attractive. That's like me saying, you know, this is that ceiling light up there, you know, is better than that ceiling light being closer. And dividing up this existence into the way we like it, and the way we want it, and the way it should be, and the way it shouldn't be, and how we're trying to keep it, and what we're trying to get it to return to. And we're trying to get other people. How about that one? To get other people to be like. I don't like the way you did that. You know, the way you talked to me wasn't okay. Why don't you get in touch with yourself and own your experience? You're projecting. And sometimes it's important to say those things. And sometimes it's, I'm trying to control that other person, if you're really honest about it. In terms of the investigation, it happens as a natural unfolding of the five aggregates, provided there's an interest in looking into what is real and true, because there isn't always that, is that it's seen that this is not who you are. And it can come in a flash, or it can seem to slide in gradually. This is not who I am. Only. This is partly who I am. Here's the opening. This is partly who I am, but there's more to me than meets the eye, inner eye. There's more to me than feeling, perception, consciousness, thought, and body. Let's pause. Is that sense right now available? Play with, what is it that sees consciousness? What is it that sees consciousness? Notice how consciousness arises with object. Hearing consciousness, seeing consciousness, smelling consciousness, taste consciousness, thinking consciousness. Consciousness arises with object. Notice that. Notice also, perhaps, something in there that suggests there's one consciousness that's continuous and everything is being observed by that. Anyone here, just you could raise your hand if you have this. Anyone here have that belief that there's one consciousness that's observing the eyesight, hearing, smell, taste, touch, body, thought? Does that mean nobody votes for that? Okay, one. Oh, okay. You get extra votes if you stand up, Peter. Really? So why believe that? Why believe that it's the same consciousness? Like, why believe that? Or why not? Why disbelieve it? Let's go that way either as well. Why believe it or disbelieve it? And who told you that it was so? Who told you there was one consciousness? Is that your direct experience? Does your direct experience verify that? Does it confirm that?
No, it's just an intuition.
What's that mean?
Something that I know, not with my brain.
What part of you knows it then?
That part of me that's, I can't locate in my body.
Okay. So if you can't locate it, then how do you know it exists?
Because I just do.
Okay, well, that's the end of the discussion then. I just do. It just is! What are you asking me about God for? The inquiry is not satisfied. I just do. See, the true inquiry is not satisfied with I just do. What's very common is to identify with consciousness as not only continuous, as you just described for us, and the way that that's true is because I just know it, I do, intuitively. It's not only that, but watch this one. I am that consciousness. I am that consciousness that's continuous. How many of you, if again, if you're willing to vote on this one, how many of you believe you're the consciousness that's, you don't have to go with her I do thing, that's continuous, the consciousness is continuous, and the thing I want you to vote on if you want is that you are that. That's what you are. That's what you really are.
That's not my vote necessarily. It was just, when I'm thinking about that, when I'm not thinking, that certainly seems to be the case, but you're differentiating beingness from consciousness.
Is that what I'm doing?
Maybe.
Okay. Is that what you're doing?
That's what I started to do, thinking about your inquiry.
Yeah.
And the flicker of consciousness.
The flicker. Yes, the flicker. Okay.
Like the haircut, by the way.
I'm going to take that out.
So I had a good time on Monday night. I was invited to give this talk at a Zen center here in town, and so we had some chanting in different languages, Korean. I couldn't quite keep up with the chants. They were kind of going fast, and I just kind of and away we went like that, and finally got to the English, we were doing the Heart Sutra, and we got to the English chant of the Heart Sutra. And that, you know, it's beautiful. Obviously, in any language it's beautiful, but if you don't understand the language, it's a little harder to get it. And still, it's very nice. So then we had some sitting, 25 minutes or so, and then we had a talk. And then we had some sharing, and questions. And one of the participants sitting beside me, at one point he asked, "When enlightenment comes, what do you do with it?" I must say, I was personally very disappointed in his question, because he's the abbot. And I was personally disappointed in his question, because his question indicates a fundamental confusion and misunderstanding. You don't get enlightened, and you don't do anything with enlightenment. The real you is liberation. The real you is like the limitless blue sky that's boundless. The real you is unfolding as everything. Including all that which is completely and utterly indescribable. So we played around the question, so what do you do with enlightenment? And it's an inversion, you don't do anything with it. Until it's realized that everything that's happening here is happening spontaneously, and it's not happening to or for anyone. Until that's glimpsed, there can be a belief that you are the five aggregates only. And sometimes not just that, one of the aggregates, like I suggested before, more than the others, like you are the consciousness. Now meanwhile, none of us sitting here, if you believe that, can prove it. I mean, we could say, "I just do," and that's fine. Nobody can stop you. You can say, "I do. I just do. Anytime you want to. But it doesn't answer the inquiry. It doesn't complete the inquiry. Unless it does that for you. And if it does that for you, then it does that for you. You see what I'm pointing to? To say, I just do. And this is known by something that I can't locate. And any question that's a true inquiry can begin to point into that which is unknowable. That which is unknowable to consciousness.
So, I mean, you question, and you have your inquiry, and, like, at some point, I need to stop. It's okay. I'm not gonna, keep on asking these, run myself around, trying to get whatever final answer, you know? At some point, it's just, I need to let it go and say, maybe my human finite mind can't pick out the right answer.
Yeah.
I just do, and that's enough. And maybe I don't, but maybe I do, and that's enough.
Yeah. Unless you want to know what doesn't die. And if you want to know what doesn't die, then what you just described can't be enough. Because your mind can't grasp it. Your mind is limited. The true inquiry goes beyond knowing, which means it goes beyond the familiar consciousness. It is believed to be continuous. We can poke a hole in that right now. What happens to that consciousness that's believed to be continuous in deep sleep? We could even simplify it further. What happens to that consciousness in a moment of spaced outness? Just a moment or two or three moments strung together of utter and total spaced outness, forgetfulness, a blank. What happened to that consciousness? Was it still there observing that? Or was it gone? You see, what you're describing in part is the limitation of the thinking mind and the knowing faculty of consciousness to actually grok things or understand things. The blue sky is blue. It doesn't need to know itself as blue. It just is. The tree is just tree.
Right, that's what I mean.
Yeah. And we are that. So, there is a moment at times in the inquiry, and when we use the word inquiry, at least when I use it, I mean a question that ends the need for an answer and eventually dissolves the question and dissolves the one who's asking the question. Inquiry doesn't mean keeping words going and answers to the words. That's cognition. What I'm describing is when cognition falls away, when the one who's having cognition falls away, when there's an answer that is absolute silence, in a sense. Can you see the limitations of your thinking mind? Until you can see the limitations of your thinking mind, you live in your thinking mind. To varying degrees, feeling like certain aspect, at least, of existence is organized through my thinking mind. Through my feeling life, a certain amount of existence is organized. Through my bodily life, a certain amount of existence is organized. Now, without even a deeper inquiry or meditation into the nature of existence, which leads into the nature of reality, it's acceptable, is it not, that at any second, this could stop functioning as it's been known to function. There's physical death, any second. And added to that, there is no sense right now of when it will happen. Although we track human beings, if we talk with human beings, sometimes human beings can feel death coming. I mean, the signs are kind of there. I was talking to my mother the other night, who's 88. She said, "Well, your father has more faith than I do, but I'm really okay." I heard something in her voice I'd never heard in my whole life. I heard in her voice like this acceptance, like she's, "I'm really okay. I'm ready to die when it comes." And I said, "Far out, Mom, because you know you've been anxious about so many things most of your life. It's really beautiful to hear your voice so calm." But she still made herself, you know, different from dear old Dad by saying he has this faith. I know about his faith, you know, he's going to the everlasting picnic in the sky. And we're all going to be there together. You know, eating, I suppose. He has no way to prove it. It's just belief. He calls it his faith. So what do you think is going to happen when you die? Some people say, "I don't know. I'll just find out when I get there." Rich and I were talking. It's going to be the end. It's like consciousness is of the brain, and when the brain stops functioning, boom, consciousness. So the analogous there would be deep sleep. Or I am spirit, and I'm going to float up and out, and I'm going to get another body, but in between I'm going to be in the bardo, because that's what the Tibetans say. I'm going to have this space in there, I'm going to be hanging out, and hope it's good, hope it's not too sandwiched, I hope my karma doesn't catch up with me, I hope I don't have to pay a lot of stuff fast, and then maybe, you know, it'll go on like that, right? I'll go on. What happens in the inquiry, what happens in the meditation, is that there's an opening into something that is indescribably mysterious. And you feel yourself of that at first. You feel you're connected to that. And as that opens, it's kind of like a love affair. It's a love affair with the intimate, infinite. Here-ness. It's not I'm connected to that. I am that. I am that. In certain Eastern traditions, that's called the one substance. The one substance is that which everything is, always. Okay, let's go at a different angle. Kind of the biochemical physics angle. Can we accept this is just energy? This is energy. This matter is actually energy. It's particles, it's waves. Right? Now what's going to happen to this energy at death? Well, you observe a person die, you might see peace come flying through. Some people describe this energy went out. It just felt like this went out, like a mushroom that sort of just went into space. Some people it's like, "Wow, yeah, wow." Breath just stopped suddenly or slowly. The pulse went away. Many of you know the story of the monk who was a long-term practitioner of the Dharma, and as he was dying in full awareness, different than consciousness, full awareness, he was laughing and saying, Lord Yarma, that's the Buddhist personification of death. Lord Yarma is looking for me all over the universes and can't find me anywhere. Which means he knew he was the deathless. Lord Yarma can't touch me. Body's falling away, breath is stopping, pulse is stopping. Woohoo! That's what we practice to realize. Everything else is a warm-up. The culmination of the Buddhist teachings is the deathless, is the unconditioned. That's the indescribable non-dual Dharma. Everything else is a warm-up. And it's a good warm-up. Right? From the moment it's first entered into, it's a wonderful warm-up. But it's a warm-up. Even to intellectually entertain the mystery, the eternal, the deathless, the unconditioned, even to intellectually entertain that, or to read about it, to not be confused by the fact that the mind can't understand it. That's very important, to not be confused by the fact that the mind can't understand it. This is a fundamental, you could say, fork in the road, if you will. It's just an image, but fork in the road. Many people, when they come up to the point in the awakening where the mind can't understand it, they just dovetail back. They go back into what they can figure out. Stay right in here. For others, they just fall off the cliff. Another example. If you talk with people who have been in or are in the emergency technical field, where they come in when someone has been in an accident, goes into shock, apparently, you know, is dying, and then they'll bring them back if they can. They put the, you know, the electrocutors on there. By the way, if you keep those things on the skin, they burn the skin. You know that? If you keep them on too long or you put them on wrong, those, I forget what they're called, but the actually burn the skin because there's a heat that's generated there. That people will talk about their experience. And sometimes they'll talk about something so wonderful happening. Classic tunnel experience, the white light. Jesus came to me. Everything was beautiful. How about the woman who just had a stroke? She was 38 years old. She has a stroke just on the left hemisphere of the cerebral cortex, right? So the left hemisphere really just completely checks out. The right hemisphere is operating. She's in a completely lucid, unified, beautiful, loving consciousness, totally. And you can read her book. It's called The Stroke of Insight. It's been all over, you know, the iTube and the internet. She's a brain researcher. I say the book because it showed up at my house the other day. I'm not allowed to read it yet because others in the house have a hold of it. And they said, you can't read this until we're done. It's the way it works in my house sometimes. If a good book shows up, it's like, keep your hands off.
It's on Oprah, too, and you can,
yeah,
you can listen to the four Oprah,
yeah,
episodes.
Yeah, yeah. It really is beautiful because it's right out there, and it begins to take something that these Tibetan, you know, meditation practitioners, just give one example, you know, centuries ago, started to examine, you know, like, what is dying? What is dying? And then begin to, like, articulate. Like, where did the word bardo come from? They articulated that there is this space that they were experiencing that was in between, you could say, embodiments. Now, some people will say, well, you know, never mind about, you know, reincarnation or rebirth. We don't have to worry about that. Let's just deal with this, see if we can get it together here. But look at how many references there are historically to rebirth or reincarnation. Are those people all just confused? See, the beauty is you don't have to take anybody else's word for it. You don't have to believe anybody else's experience. This is what, in one example of the history, the Buddha did with such elegance and such courage and such love and devotion. He just looked deeply into what could actually be observed, until that which he was observing was seen so clearly, and the one who was observing it was seen so clearly, and boom, the final emancipation, the dissolution of ignorance, complete and total eradication. Every human being, to varying degrees, has moments of eradication of ignorance, where there is no ignoring of the truth, the way things really are. And then other moments that are, you could say, mixed around that, often very, very quickly, because actually what's happening here is consciousness is arising and passing as quickly as the objects that are arising and passing. Notice this. Notice that there is this unfolding process that we call life here, or existence. Okay, you might think it's happening very slowly. Watch how quickly attention is moving from one sense door to another. Try to hold it in one place. Try to hold attention in one place. Try to fix it in the eyes. Keep the sound out, by the way. If you do that, fix it in the eyes, keep the sound out. Or fix it in the sound, keep the eyes out. Close the eyes, just stay in your ears. It's very difficult to do, isn't it? Consciousness is arising and passing with the objects of consciousness. As soon as that's seen, even for a second, something else, and I use the word awareness instead of consciousness, something else. Because prior to that something else being seen, consciousness is the matrix. Consciousness is the continuous. Consciousness is what I am. If you're consciousness, then you're locked in to this, aren't you? Unless consciousness goes out of this. So you have an out-of-body experience now. Your consciousness is outside of this. I described one of those a few weeks back. Consciousness is outside here. Now you're the consciousness out here. Instead of waiting to see what happens when the body dies, when physical death happens, when I use the word body dies, I mean the physical death happens. That means heart, clinical death, right? Heart stops beating, breath stops. Instead of finding out what happens when that happens, guess what? Meditation, true inquiry, opens the possibility of realizing what you are beyond physical death. Wow, this process right here is unfolding. Because all this is a process. It's an appearance. It's unfolding itself. Anybody interested in that? Or shall we just kind of wait until... And actually, by the way, if you notice other human beings whose lives have been chaotic and messy, non-harmonious, as death approaches, oh my gosh, it is so sad. Shit hits the fan big time. Just observe. People who have a lot of fear, a lot of grasping, a lot of possessiveness, a lot of controlling, a lot of attachment to things. As death starts to show itself, really starts to come, and it's clear the mortality of the body, right? Oh my gosh, they have a terrible time, and they're trapped in nursing homes, and they're being mistreated by people who are also confused. People who are so attached and invested in this form, they're running countries right now, like Myanmar, where people go through a catastrophe way worse, at least equal to, if not worse, than Katrina. And these people are then moved into these so-called refugee camps where they don't even have adequate supplies. And then the generals, that's what they are, they take these people out of these refugee camps and they put them back in the place where the typhoon happened without resources. Now that is absolutely barbaric, insane, beyond comprehension. What's driving that? That's an ignorance that is so deep. And that's supposed to be leaders of a country, and these are my people. These are the people of my country. That's happening right now on the earth. One story. Heart doesn't get disturbed by that. You're living in ignorance. Heart gets overly caught, overwhelmed, crazy with anger, confusion, or fear about that. More ignorance is now unfolding itself. The very deep and penetrating power of realizing not just the nature of impermanence, but realizing, or let me back off that, being open to the realization of the deathless. Wow. Unfolding right here. Is that it opens up the eye of wisdom and compassion all the way so that this world, this existence, with all of its unbelievable, you could say, manifestations and expressions, is cared for and not held on to simultaneously. It's cared for and not held on to simultaneously. It's cared for and not held on to simultaneously, because there's no one to hold on to it. And if you look closely in the depth of caring, there is no one who's doing the caring. There's just caring unfolding. There's just caring manifesting. So it doesn't have to be a kind of metaphysical sort of, you know, joke, or, you know, let's sort of play with the death like some kids do at times. Like, I wonder what it's like to die and play games. You know, that's an interesting kind of beginning of the curiosity into what are we. They may not say that's what they're doing if you ask them, what are you kids doing? Well, we're exploring the deathless, obviously, here on the playground. I remember the book Catcher in the Rye caught my attention when I was a young boy reading Catcher in the Rye, and some of these books that came through my life that really kind of played at the edge. Very intriguing to read that stuff. Death in Venice, Thomas Mann. And just books like this that came through the literature of the schools and whatnot. So let me pause now. I've gone on a bit. These last 2 weeks have been perhaps more confusing. If I can figure out how to turn this off, I won't be confused.